So it's our blessing to have our dean, Father Michael Habib from Twin Falls with us. Now we knew this man from when he was Michael, and then Subdeacon Michael, and then Deacon Michael, and now Priest Michael, soon to be maybe, who knows, Archimandrite Michael, I don't know. So welcome, Father Michael, and give us a good teaching. You have to. Yes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. Brother Gregory, Father Larry, Father Mark, Deacon Kurt, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst.
He is and shall be.
And blessed feast. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says to them in the very first chapter, "We preach Christ crucified." And during this festal period that we conclude today, following the great feast of the elevation of the cross, we are called upon once again to consider the cross of Christ, to consider Christ crucified. These central images and affirmations of our faith are perhaps the most difficult thing in life we have to confront. When considering all of what it means to be members of a faith community, many people can find it within themselves to do things like meeting together regularly, making social connections, supporting charitable outreach, and so on. But those are things that other kinds of groups can do, and many of them do it better. It is only here in the Orthodox Christian Church where we say that God became man, that the God-man was crucified and rose from the dead, and that we want to climb onto that cross with him so that we can become united to him, to become by grace what he is by nature. Yes, other Christian groups include some of these beliefs, but Orthodoxy is the only one that proclaims the full message of what Christ's incarnation, resurrection, and salvation for us fully entail. To get a real sense of what Christ's crucifixion really means, we have to try to put ourselves into the minds of those first men and women who followed him. At first, they probably had no real idea of who he was. But then it became clear that God was with him, that Jesus had some sort of special connection to the divine. And then he started showing signs that he was divine himself. You can imagine that especially when he started doing miracles and when he started making bold statements about who he was, that his followers started getting excited. The Jews had suffered under the occupation of the Roman Imperium for nearly 100 years, and before that were centuries of Hellenistic rule after the conquest of Alexander the Great. And so when it seemed that here was a man with real power, not just personal charisma, but a connection directly to God, well, they started to hope that perhaps their Messiah had come. And this Messiah, this anointed one of God, would save his people from their domination by foreign powers. And then, just when it seemed that he was entering into his triumph in Jerusalem, and the crowds were waving palm leaves and welcoming him, he was arrested and then crucified. Crucified, the most shameful and humiliating kind of death the Roman Empire could imagine, was the fate of this awaited Savior, this Messiah who would liberate his people. It must have seemed to be a disaster. Just as the followers of this Jesus of Nazareth seemed to be seeing all of their hopes coming true, their master and teacher was grabbed by the Romans at the behest of the local Jewish leadership and then nailed to a cross, lifted up in public to bleed and suffocate in near nakedness. The pain and the shame for him and for all of them was literally excruciating. And how appropriate a word excruciating is, for it literally means from the cross. And this is the Jesus whom we preach. This is the sign we hold up as our banner, as our identifying mark. We decorate the cross with flowers and with gold and jewels and put it in a place of honor. But it is still a cross. It is still the instrument of pain, of suffering, of humiliation, and of death. We point to this sign, to this symbol. We hang crosses around our necks, place them all over our homes and our churches. We make the sign of the cross. The priest blesses us with the sign of the cross. We venerate the cross. We bow down to God before the cross. If you think of the iconic symbols of other religions, there is nothing like it. When choosing their symbols, most religions clearly pick something peaceful, happy, or balanced, or other things. But Christians have the cross, the tool on which the Lord and God of the universe was humiliated and killed. And that is the Jesus we want to identify ourselves with. That is the Jesus who is at the center of our preaching, at the center of our spiritual lives. That is the sign we hang around our necks at baptism, the moment when we truly become Christians. This is one of those theological moments when you know that it sounds so unattractive, so crazy, so utterly insane, that it must be true. No one who is trying to devise a religion to sucker people into joining their club and cheating them out of their money would put a cross at the center. Yet, there it is. The cross stands before us, right at the very center of Christ's ministry on earth, right at the center of who we are as Christians, as little Christs, for that is what Christian means. We preach Christ crucified. But why? Why did God die? And why do we have to die with him? It is because he did not come here to initiate us into a religious club. He also did not come here to help us live more comfortable, successful earthly lives. Nor did he even come to give us wisdom or enlightenment or balance. He came here to unite God and man and thereby put death to death. God in his nature cannot be touched by death, for he is not mortal. But the Son of God gave up the Spirit on the cross, and as a result, mortality met the immortal God. Then corruption met incorruption. Then the grave became a source not of destruction and stench and decay, but the very fountain of life and the foundation of all life. It is this paradox that we live, that if we want to have life, we must enter into death. Excuse me. But when we enter into death with Christ by taking up our own crosses and following him, then we get to trample on death along with him. But it is absolutely critical that we take up our crosses. No one gets to the heavenly kingdom without taking up the cross. It is not enough merely to be a formal member of the church. It is not enough merely to give some donations to the church. It is not enough to pitch in once in a while and feel like we have done our fair share. No, Christian life is nothing less than total crucifixion. It will never be popular, but it is the only way. If you think that sounds like something much more than normal church membership, then you are absolutely right. After all, the Lord did not tell us to be pretty good in Matthew 5:48. He told us to be perfect. I am always a little surprised when someone tells me in confession, I live a good life. Aside from that not really being a confession, you will never find a single saint in the 2,000 years of Christian history ever saying such a thing, right? They all say that they are the chief among sinners. They all have embraced crucifixion as a way of life. They all have embraced humility as a way of life. They have all taken their eyes off their own accomplishments and have become utterly caught up in the romance of the great adventure of true Christianity. But the hidden joy, the secret known only to those who are becoming crucified, is that in this crucifixion lies freedom and courage. The comfortable man is not a free man, for he depends on his possessions for his happiness. The comfortable man also has no courage, for he cannot bear to risk his comfort. But in the freedom and courage of crucifixion is eternal life. Yes, being perfect is impossible without God's help, but it is what we are called to do. So we must be crucified in our wills, in our thoughts, in our desires, in our possessions, in our careers, in our education, in our habits, in our time, in everything. And then, and only then, can we really live. As St. Paul says in the epistle reading from last Sunday, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To the crucified and risen Jesus Christ be all glory, honor, and worship, together with his eternal Father, his all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, unto ages of ages.
Amen.